Welcome to Writer's Circle Radio, presented by Classical Conversations. Today's episode comes from Jennifer Courtney. Jennifer is a challenge director, as well as the director of communications for Classical Conversations Multimedia. She is married to her high school sweetheart and lives in Oklahoma with their four children.
In some previous articles and podcasts, we have looked at choosing your curriculum and methodology and organizing your schoolroom. Now we can consider how to organize your day. In the past, I have served as both a state manager and a practicum speaker for Classical Conversations. In the years that I've been doing this, I've been repeatedly asked to provide a schedule and to address the issue of organizing a typical day at home. Like all homeschooling families, I've tried a number of schedules and routines. The year I wrote this article, I had a two-year-old running around the house, and so we had to adjust the schedule yet again. Here are some things which can make the day-to-day easier. 1. Planning for the year ahead. Each summer, my husband gives me a precious gift. He takes the children somewhere fun, like the zoo or the science museum, and leaves me alone in a quiet house to plan for the school year ahead. During my planning retreat, I organize each child's books and supplies into their file box for the year. For more details on the file box, you can check out the podcast on organizing your schoolroom. Then I write out my goals for each child in three areas: academic, spiritual, and responsibility. In the academic goals, we list our ideals for what we would like each child to master that year, such as reading chapter books, mastering the multiplication tables, memorizing Latin vocabulary, trying out for Memory Master, picking up an instrument, and so on. For their spiritual goals, I list and pray about character qualities that need extra attention and training, such as complaining or impatience. One of the blessings and benefits of homeschooling is that as families, we get to know each other really quite well, and so we usually know exactly which habits need to be worked on. It's a good idea during this time to think about scripture that will address these particular needs of each child. Once I've identified their character quality goal for the year, their spiritual goal, then I can also add that to my daily prayers. Finally, we consider new chores that we would like them to tackle for the coming year, such as mopping, laundry, or making lunch. We also decide who's going to help train them to do this new chore. Later, my husband reviews the list and we make the revisions together. During my retreat, I also make a list of books and supplies that I neglected to pick up at the homeschool convention, a Classical Conversations parent practicum, or through online shopping. Finally, I try to write out what our daily schedule will look like based on our goals and our activities. The next step is to plan for the week ahead. On Sunday evenings, I sit down for an hour and plan out our week. For each child, I write out an assignment schedule for the week, and I also plan our weekly meals. I find that if we have a menu planned in advance and purchase the ingredients, we're less likely to panic on an unexpectedly busy day. Don't get me wrong, we still eat our share of fast food on crazy days, but the menu prevents us from caving in every night. The same is true of our assignment schedule. I find that having everything written down in advance helps me think clearly in the midst of chaos. If I need to give extra attention to my toddler, my 11-year-old can look at our plan and keep working. I still write everything in pencil, though, because we make adjustments whenever life happens. The year I wrote this article, I was preparing my oldest to enter the Classical Conversations Challenge A program in the fall for the first time. He's now a Challenge 3 student. That year, I was especially passionate about him taking on more responsibility for his own education. So I carefully considered his activity load each day and outlined his plan of study accordingly. I expect him to work on his assignments more independently that year, coming to me with questions and concerns and checking off his completed work. Since then, I've moved two more children toward the challenge program, and I have learned to let them practice in their fifth and sixth grade years, or roughly at ages 10, 11, 12, to start planning their own assignments. In my house, around that age, everyone gets their own planner, and I work with them and train them in the habits of planning out a daily course of study. For math, I expect my oldest children to read the lesson and start to work each day. When they have a question, they know they need to try to look up the answer on their own. My son uses Saxon Math, which assists me with this training. Each problem notes the lesson which introduced that concept originally, so I've trained him to go back and review that lesson before coming to me. I started training my children in this method for a couple of reasons. One is I'd like them to be more independent learners. The other is that there are several of them and only one of me. I need them to learn the important skill of going back and reviewing things that they already know before they come to me for help, because I can't help all of them at once. Sometimes this requires my son to use his glossary to look up the definition of a math vocabulary word in order to solve the problem. Training him in these habits of looking back at previous lessons and of using the glossary to look up the math definitions is important as he learns how to use reference materials for himself and to become a more independent learner. The year I wrote this article, my 9-year-old was being trained to work independently on her own by having her own assignment guide. Again, I expected her to complete some work independently so that I could work intensively with the younger children on math, reading, and handwriting, and with a 2-year-old who was potty training. Oftentimes, my older children would assist the 6-year-old that year with her math while I finished folding a load of clothes or supervised the youngest, who was 2. My daughters enjoy quizzing one another on their classical conversations memory work, and my son enjoyed helping his sister with diagramming sentences and writing papers. Older children enjoy playing teacher, a job which offers built-in review of concepts that they have already learned. These experiences are where the idea of the one-room schoolhouse helped me most. I picture a young 16-year-old girl with up to 60 pupils of varying ages and abilities. For her, it was very important to introduce lessons and concepts and then leave the pupils to do the hard work of reading, writing, and calculating. So I did the same thing in my home. I introduced lessons in math and language arts, and then I remained close by to the children, sitting next to them at the table or in the next room while they complete their work. I chose the room next to our kitchen for school so that I can clean or prepare meals while they're working. Then in the afternoons, when they're reading independently, I can finish my work. I enjoy them stopping in to tell me about their reading. The third step of organizing your day is to plan the day. Just by way of review, we've already talked about planning out your year and planning out your week. So now we'll get into the nitty-gritty of planning an individual day. I always share daily schedules with fear and trembling because there's no such thing as the perfect homeschool schedule, or maybe even there's no such thing as the typical homeschool schedule, because every day seems to bring its own plans and challenges. But I'll talk to you generally about what a typical day might look like for us. I like to start our schedule with morning time. We have a block of time where we all study together and do some reading aloud and sharing of artwork, poetry, maybe classical music, scripture, a history text, or a book about science, and a fun family read aloud. In my house, that morning time together is very important to me, and so I like to do it first thing in the day. So as soon as my children wake, we tend to snuggle up on the couches. We start by reading our scripture. I like to keep this scripture reading fairly short, and then I start with the youngest child and allow them to tell back what they heard and go in reverse age order until all the children have shared something about the story. This is a nice practice because my youngest will usually notice details about the story that the oldest have not paid attention to, and the oldest will definitely offer life applications and talk about the meaning of the story. So that means that everyone gets something out of the story and everyone learns from one another. After that, we will read aloud a piece of literature. These in my home have varied from what you might think of as educational historical fiction to just really fun times that we share together as a family. It's important to include a variety of read-alouds because we want our children to learn to enjoy stories. We want them to enjoy family time together. We want them to learn from their experiences, and we want to cultivate their imagination. So I try to include a mix of historical fiction and fantasy during those read-aloud times. After that, depending on the year, we might look at a piece of art together or a poem together and talk about what we think it means or what colors we noticed in the painting. Or we've also been known to read a history text that goes along with our Classical Conversations Foundation's history cycle, or some years we've read other types of history books like a history of science. Each time we do a read aloud or a study of a painting or we recite a poem, everyone in the house is expected to say something about what they learned from that experience. So you can see this does not require a lot of planning on my time. I take that first portion of the day. My job is to pick the books, read a little bit from them each day, and then ask the children some questions and hear their discussion. After that, sometimes during it, we eat our breakfast, and then we sit down to do anything else that really needs my attention, such as reviewing Classical Conversations memory work or drawing our maps for geography. Then sometime in the day early after that, say 9:30 to 10:30, we tackle math. I expect my older students, as I said earlier, to read the lesson for themselves and attempt the problems, and then to try to look up answers that were, or problems that were brought up in other lessons. And then if they still need my help, I'll go around and make sure everyone has what they need. But I always ask my children to keep working. If they absolutely have to skip a problem, they need to keep working until they know that I'm free from working with another child. The last thing you want in your daily schedule is to cultivate an environment where mom is like a popcorn ball bouncing from child to child the moment that they need you. They need to learn to wait their turn. They need to learn how to be more self-sufficient. They need to learn to have some quiet working time where they just keep going and they save up their questions. Those are all good habits to cultivate in the children. After that, we tackle language arts, which looks like grammar and spelling and writing, depending on the ages of the children, or it might be phonics if you're teaching one to learn to read. After that, in my house, we do piano practice and lunch, and then in the afternoons, everyone does individual quiet reading in science, history, or fiction, and then we also have our activities such as sports, art, and music lessons, book clubs, etc. So I hope that gives you a brief look at what it's like to plan out a year in advance, to plan for a week in advance, and to plan for each day of your homeschool. None of these are ever going to be a perfect plan. I usually evaluate my yearly plan with my husband around January, and we make any tweaks that we need to for the plan for the year. As far as daily planning goes, as I said, there are going to be many days when things get disrupted, but I find that having a daily schedule and cultivating the habits of attention to their work independently helps us stay on track on the days that we get interrupted. So if there's illness or doctor's appointments, the students can pick up all the better the next day because we've cultivated the habit of attending to the important things and we know how to keep a schedule. I hope this article was encouraging to you, and I hope that you will join us for more articles like this on our Classical Conversations articles area on our website, and that you'll check out more of our podcast channel. Blessings on your homeschooling.
This has been a presentation of Writer's Circle Radio. For more ideas and encouragement, go to classicalconversations.com/articles.